I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Topic for today, how stress eats your profits. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our program. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. Very dramatic, huh, Paul?
Yeah, nice.
Thank you. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and to assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership for training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid getting stuck in shallow water so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the very issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal, we want to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond as many as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. As inclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. You'll want to have some paper and a pen handy. We'll want to take some notes, because we'll be sharing many ideas you'll want to consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is a very cool guy, longtime friend, amazing business person, and a true thought leader. A lot of people talk about thought leaders. Paul Walker is a thought leader. Many of you know Paul from his best-selling book, Unleashing Genius. If you haven't read it, go get it. You can get it on Kindle or go on Amazon and get a paperback or hard copy. It's an amazing book, and it will really open up your mind. It's something you want to have your team read also. Paul will have a brand new book coming out. Paul, first quarter next year?
Yeah, first quarter next year. That's right.
And the title
called,
is?
Invent Your Future. I've interviewed 26 successful CEOs to determine what they do to invent their personal future and the future of their organizations. And so,
do you want to write that down? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. That's it.
Oh, you'll want to write that down and or send an email over to Paul and get on his list so you can get a copy early on. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap organizations. Just a few of the organizations Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, Vaughn's Grocery Store, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing organizations, global utilities, service, and consulting organizations. Paul is the founder of Genius Stone Partners and works with both domestic and international companies to improve their bottom line today and, most importantly, planning for the future. I feel privileged to have Paul with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. I feel privileged to have Paul with us, and this is going to be an amazing discussion. And at the conclusion of our program, registration will begin, and the topic will be the workforce of the future, 10 things to consider today. And you can sign up after this program and make sure you have space. Paul, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. And it's a timely topic. A lot of reason to have stress, but you know, the question of how stress eats your profits is an important one. And I'm going to go into detail, but the bottom line is if someone is stressed, that they may not be at work, so that's going to affect your profits because you still have to pay them. And when someone is stressed, their consciousness is narrowed, and, of course, the way you make a profit, the way you run a business is you have a high level of consciousness. You see the flow of cause and effect, and you position yourself and your company to take advantage of that. If you're stressed, your consciousness is very narrow, and you're going to miss opportunities one after the other. And if you got 10 or 10,000 employees and many of them are stressed, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. And there are not too many second chances in today's economy. You miss a big opportunity, lose a lot of money, you're going to have a hard time financing a recovery. So the first thing to really talk about in the first slide, you can see how fear and stress impacts the bottom line. It weakens the immune system. And, you know, this is an important notion. As the immune system weakens, people get sick. And people get irritable. And you have not only people missing work, people working at half speed, you also have what I call tribal warfare within the company. You know, if you've ever had a bad night's sleep and a argument with your spouse, you know you tend to be a little grouchy. And as time goes on, your employees are stressed. They're going to be grouchy. They're not going to cooperate as well. And they're going to, tribal warfare is going to break out. So why? So looking at the next slide, when you're stressed, you go into what's called fight or flight syndrome. And this is a natural syndrome that causes the blood to run from your brain and your internal organs to your arms and legs to facilitate either fighting or running. And, you know, this is something that has served us as a race, you know, since we lived in tribes, because consciousness narrows, but it focuses on the threat, right? And it can shut down. You can be so stressed, but your consciousness narrows. Blood runs from your organs to your legs and arms, and that consciousness is focused on the threat. So if you, as a leader, or your company as a leader, becomes the focus of someone's stress, their consciousness is focused on those items that they're fearful about. Instead of looking at opportunities, instead of looking at how, you know, they might work more efficiently or how we might find ways to grow. So this is a natural biological process. The reason it causes disease, as we point out in the next slide, is
Paul, a question just came in on the fear thing about the that can people if you're trying to cover up the fear, can people still sense it?
Can people still sense
the fear? So is it better just tell people you're really stressed out or scared, or to try to hide it?
Oh no, people can sense it. They can't miss it. Particularly if you're a leader and you're stressed, people are going to see that, they're going to feel it, and they're going to assume something is wrong. They're not going to assume you had a bad day. They're not going to assume, you know, you've been thinking about negative things. They're going to assume something's wrong with a company, and that's going to make them stressed. So, yeah, just be open about it. You come in and say, look, I had a bad weekend, or I'm tired, I didn't sleep, whatever. It's causing your stress. Just be open about it.
Okay.
People understand, right? And because we all run into stress, but the problem is this kind of fight or flight syndrome was designed maybe once a month. You know, a tiger comes into your village, or maybe once a year some other tribe invades you, trying to steal your stores. Well, okay, so you go into fight or flight, which is necessary and useful, particularly as the blood leaves your internal organs. Even if you're stabbed, you don't bleed as much until you calm down. But if this is constant, like it is in our society, you know, the brain, the ego, has a hard time differentiating between someone walking in the room with an Uzi and someone in power, raising their voice. It's very similar reaction. They've proven that over the years. So this is why it causes a disease. This is why it's totally unnatural to have this kind of constant stress. That's why we have heart attacks, ulcers. Many of the diseases are caused by the deterioration of the immune system due to stress. Okay? That makes sense to everybody?
Yep, that's good.
And,
that's good.
You know, and you got a whole team of people, a whole company under stress. If you use fear as a leader to motivate people, what you're doing essentially is making them unhealthy, narrowing their consciousness to focus on whatever they're afraid of instead of whatever opportunities might occur. And, you know, net-net, it's going to add up to losing money, losing opportunities, and so on. So how do we control it? You know, how do we fix this? Well, I mean, number one, if you're a leader, try not to use fear as a motivator. I know a lot of leaders think it works. Well, it does work short term, but not long term. Okay? We can only control ourselves. So if you're a leader, the first you need to do is control the level of stress, the environment you live in. I do volunteer work. I'm on the board of a group that works with inner city kids in the ghettos, teenagers. And their post-traumatic stress syndrome is more prevalent there than it is for people who are returning from Afghanistan and Iraq. So the environment has a huge impact on the level of stress. So if your company or your department is full of stress, then, you know, you're going to have problems with profit, with growth, with all the things I mentioned earlier. So as a leader, you have to control that environment, reduce tribal warfare, reduce people pointing fingers at each other, reduce people attacking each other. You need to create an environment that is accountable and sort of driven towards something that is greater than any single individual, even greater than the company. Get people on a mission. So when they get on that mission, their state of mind shifts, right? They become more hopeful. They become excited about doing something important as opposed to avoiding whatever is stressing them. And, you know, the world is stressful. People's family life might be stressful. But if you can manage your business environment, so when you come in, this is not a stressful environment. You're going to get so much more productivity out of your employees. People will want to come to work because it's an environment that, I mean, can never be stress-free, but comparatively speaking, it's an empowered place where people feel good about themselves. So in the next slide, we talk about attitude, right? If you ever walked into a meeting, everybody's in a bad mood, right? I mean, people say, well, how do you measure that? Well, you know, if you're conscious, you can feel it. I mean, you can see when people are in a bad mood. Try to sell them something, right? Try to persuade them to do something positive. It's impossible because, you know, they're in fight or flight. They're in fear. They're looking for something they can not trust. They're looking for, you know, somebody who's trying to get them, mainly you. And so monitoring the mood or the attitude of people, you might say, well, it's not my job, you know. I'm running a company. No. You're running it, but all your employees are doing all the work. And so if they're in a good mood, they have a lot of gratitude, love, joy, curiosity, excitement, they're going to be more productive. They're going to get along better. They're in a bad mood, hate, anger, irritation, depression. You know, it's going to be really hard to manage them and get them focused. And they're going to say, yeah, okay, boss, I'll do this, I'll do that. But they do it in a much less powerful fashion. They kind of get into what's called malicious obedience. You know, it's the old story of I work with a fire department. here in Long Beach. And the old story, when it was a bucket brigade, the, you know, the fire chief would yell at his people and say, go over there and bring buckets of water. Building's on fire. So chief goes to another location. He comes back, and the firemen are sitting there with all the buckets on the curb. They haven't thrown the water on the fire. And he said, what the hell are you doing? You throw the water on the fire. Why don't you throw the water on the fire? And they said, well, you didn't tell me to do that. I did exactly what you said. We got the buckets. We brought them here. You didn't tell me to throw it on the fire. That's malicious obedience. They're stressed. They see you as the enemy. They see you as someone to avoid. Now, as a leader, here's an important thing to understand. Bad moods, hate, anger, irritation, depression, are constructed states of mind. They come from your thoughts and beliefs, and then impact your emotional state of mind. They're constructed. We live our life, things happen to us, and we go, okay, this is dangerous. Okay, this bothers me. This stresses me, blah, blah, blah. And then when something happens that's similar to a previous experience that we created, a belief is like an automatic reaction. You know, someone who hates a given minority group, when they see somebody in a minority, they get, their state of mind goes into hate or anger or whatever, right? You don't want that to be the case when you walk in the room as their leader. You don't want them to go into fight or flight as soon as you arrive on the scene. So this is a constructed state of mind. Now, the good moods, gratitude, love, joy, curiosity, inspiration, these are not constructed. These are natural states of mind. This is really important. They're natural states of mind. It's when you look at a baby, you know, somebody brings a new baby into the office, and what happens? You know, everybody gathers around and pokes at him and smiles, and everyone's laughing, the baby's laughing. Because the baby doesn't have any thoughts. The baby's not sitting there thinking, wow, the government's going to screw our economy up again. Man, you know, I may not be able to pay my mortgage, or I may not get any health care or whatever. Baby's not thinking about anything. Baby's just being present and generally tend to be happy unless there's crap in baby's diapers or the baby's hungry, which are natural reasons to take action. So the only action they can take is they'll cry. The higher states of mind are natural states if you are not stressed, if you are not being stimulated by your internal beliefs that came up due to traumatic experiences in the past. All you have to do as a leader is create this environment that reduces stress, increases inspiration, encourages people to enjoy themselves, and people will naturally rise. You don't have to do anything as a leader to get people in a good mood. You just have to not do the things that get people in a bad mood, and they will naturally rise up, particularly if the environment you create is an empowered, fun environment. Okay? Now, from the study, I'm quoting from a study from a book called Sanity, Insanity, on Common Sense, where they discovered that states, negative states of mind are constructed, and healthy states of mind are natural. They studied in mental hospitals. There's one story where the guy, George Pransky, was interviewing people in mental hospitals for his doctoral thesis, and he was pointing out to the patients, you know, it's just 30, he only had 30 minutes, he was saying, it's just your thinking, you think about these things and then you have this negative reaction, this paranoid reaction, it's just your thinking, that's all it is. Nothing else involved in the fact that you're crazy. And he'd been doing that, having this little talk and videoing it, And one of the guys he interviewed called him and said, "Hey, George, you're right. I don't know what happened, but I realize it's just my own thinking causing all this craziness in my head." And George says, "Well, great, you know, fantastic, you know, I'm glad to hear that." And he said, "Well, there's only one problem." George says, "What's that?" He says, "They won't let me out of the mental hospital. They can't believe that I'm just well all of a sudden because I had this insight." And, of course, George had to go talk to the counselors, go through a whole process. It took about a month to get him released and finally got him released. Today, guy has a family and children and is very healthy because he realized that his insanity was caused by his own thoughts. And if you realize that, if you're in a bad mood, if you feel bad, it's your own thinking. It's not what somebody else said. It's not what your boss did. It's your reaction or response to what happened that's causing that lower state of mind. So, you know, as a leader, of course, your job, you know, is to create that environment that's friendly to empowerment, friendly to creativity, friendly to curiosity, as opposed to an environment that's full of anger, irritation, and hate. So,
interesting point, Paul, you brought up there. I was watching the movie King of Summers, and for those of you who haven't seen it, there's a scene where there's a snake, I guess it's poisonous viper, and one of the stars in the movie then is in this cabin by himself, and the snake comes in, and he moves away from the snake really quickly. He puts his hand over his heart because his heart's pumping so fast, mm-hmm. and he had read in the book that the snake will sense fear. So he had to close his eyes, had to calm himself down, and the snake didn't react. It just stayed there. But there was nothing to react to because he kept himself calm.
Right. Yeah, he was going into fight or flight, and the heart's pumping the blood from the organs, including the brain, to the arms and legs.
And he jumped to get away, and then he realized what he was doing. He was thinking.
Yeah, sure. And thinking is not going to help you dodge a snake strike.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to distract you, and you won't even see him leaping at you because you'll be in your head thinking about it instead of being present and responding. A basketball player in the zone doesn't drive to the basket and say, "Should I cut left or right?" They just move because they're responding to the flow of cause and effect. Their thoughts, their stress is not interfering with their performance. And our thoughts in general are useful tools. You know, we couldn't have this call at 11 without thought. It's a tool. But we've turned thought into a god. You know, the CEOs I interviewed for the new book all emphasized intuition, insight is critical for a leader. So you can see the flow of cause and effect and respond to it as opposed to having your consciousness focused on your thoughts, your fears, your speculations. It's all self-created. But as a team, you can work to create an environment that everyone on the team is committed to each other's success. And I've just put the slide up. I got ahead of myself. It's all self-created. A good mood is a natural state. But if you're thinking or worrying, you could be sitting on the ocean watching a beautiful sunset and not really experience it because you're worrying about your job, you're worrying about something you said yesterday. Your mind is focused on thoughts as opposed to present and focused on what's happening in front of you. If you've got a team of people that are focused on their thought, I'm working with a company right now, you know, several, in the initial stages before I start working on them, you know, everyone's worried about what everyone else would say. Everyone's worried about their position in the company. Everybody's worried about tomorrow, if you will. And of course sales are flat. Of course productivity sucks. You know, they want to do a strategic offsite. I say, not until we get the team healthy. Because you do a strategic offsite when your team is stressed, when your team is pointing fingers at each other, when your team is worried about their position in the company. Everything they say about the business strategy and how we can get more customers, increase sales, is focused on protecting themselves from the other people on the team, as opposed to finding the right answer, protecting their job, protecting their position. They're in stress. They're in fight or flight. Very important to create this environment. I know the company that I helped build years ago, they had a very environment that almost had had a very low level of stress. And if we got stress, they would send us to like a retreat center to calm down. That's the first thing. Get people calm. Get them in the present. How do you do that? Well, a lot of ways. Aerobics works really well for me. I cycle. And, you know, once I get into the rhythm of pedaling and breathing, you know, there's nothing else on my mind. It kind of blows out everything. Meditation is a good tool. I teach most of my CEOs to meditate, clear their mind. Practice clearing your mind of all these worries, of all these fears, of all these thoughts that are circling around in your head. Humor's great. I mean, nothing like a good laugh to, you know, blow away fear. You know, sometimes I'll do interviews prior to a team building and, you know, to find out what's working, what's not working and all of that. And, of course, when I make that presentation, people are pretty stressed. And they go, oh, my God, he's going to now aggregate all the stuff we said and present to us and the CEO all this bad news. So I'll always do something humorous before I present, you know, just to get people to lighten up. You know, say, hey, you know, every company has problems. Every company has these things going on if you don't take care of them. And so, I mean, don't feel bad. You're not alone. You know, there are many people, many teams who have these issues. But the good news is you've now been honest about them, you're aware of them, and we have a whole process here that we're going to go through that will help you release also, these things and get focused.
And also for those of you that are listening to this today, whether you're in an association anywhere in the world or are on the call actually today. Paul has a really cool program also where he can do a meditation exercises for an entire company. And people can be in their office or they can be on a conference call, like anywhere in the world traveling, and can listen in, and he'll walk you through this process. And it's designed for business people, for understanding how to get centered in order to think clearly and then to be able to execute in a very precise way. So this isn't stuff what we're talking about that's out there floating around. Paul brings this into the center or core so then execution can take place with ideas.
That's right. Yeah, and because, you know, a stressed out leader is pretty much useless. You know? And, yeah, I've been doing that since 1982. We worked with New York Life and Mutual of New York and Anne Klein in New York and taught the whole executive team how to release stress, how to meditate. You know, you can't do aerobics on the job. The humor's good. You can't, you know, people say, well, when are you most stressed, or when do you get your best ideas? I always ask people that, you know, because we want to get good ideas before a strategic offsite. And they'll say, well, in the shower, when I'm jogging, when I'm biking, swimming, wake up in the middle of the night. Well, those are all times when their mind is quieter. And, of course, we can't set up shower stalls at the corporate headquarters for people to reflect, right, to get good ideas. You know, you can't say, all right, everybody run around the block and come back and see what ideas you have. You know, it's just not practical. So just a simple form of meditation that quiets your mind, that helps you let go. And if you're about to go to a stressful meeting, an important meeting, my clients will call me. I'll take them through a little relaxation meditation. And then sort of inquire after the meditation, once their head is clear, you know, how are you going to approach this meeting, what's important. And they'll have a much clearer view of the reality of the situation. Keeping in mind your thoughts, your worries about the future, your remorse and fears that come from the past. These are not real. These are just the thoughts that you've collected. And now you're running them over and over again in your head. They have nothing to do with what's going on in the present, other than you may have been responding to something that happened in the present. And so now you've drifted off either into the past, worrying about things, or drifted into the future, speculating, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen, right? And, you know, 90% of what you worry about never happens. And I guarantee you that worrying will not change the flow of cause and effect. Right? It will not change the cause of flow and effect. So it's not going to help you. All it's going to do is take your attention off the present. And the only way you can affect the flow of cause and effect is by responding to the present. Only way. Only way. You know, the power of negative thinking or even positive thinking is not going to affect the flow of cause and effect. Positive thinking might affect your mood, right? Might affect your state of mind, get you in a more positive state, but the thinking itself won't do it. Letting go of the negative thinking will naturally have you rise, you know. Like I say in this next slide here, letting go of bad moods. I mean, I get in bad moods, you know, not often. But when I do, I go, this is not helping. And there's my old thought pattern that causes my bad moods coming up again. So I just dismiss it. I let go of it. It's not real. Right? It's not real. Just thoughts. It's like, you know, it's like eating the menu instead of the food. You know, so you have nice pictures of food on the menu. You could go, well, you know, let me just eat the menu. It's the same as just putting your whole consciousness on your thoughts instead of what's happening right now. So there's no substitute for practice. So one of the things I have my clients do is go back in their life to find their sort of peak performance moments, when they've been in the zone, when they've been in just a great mood. I have them go back and tell me that story. Actually have them close their eyes and tell the story of the peak performance moment as though it were happening right now. And it's amazing their state of mind shifts. They get into this grateful place. And why I do that is I want them to learn their roadmap into their own highest state of mind. That's all I'm doing. It's all the process. So once you know how to access that different state of mind, and then you know the difference between a really healthy, high-performance state of mind and your regular day-to-day state of mind, which may involve a lot of stress and worry, then you're motivated to practice. There is no substitute for practice in mastering anything. And mastering your own state of mind, your own consciousness, your own ability to be present is the most important tool anyone can have, but especially a leader who's managing a very complex situation with multiple constituencies and a flow of cause and effect that is just not going to stop. It, you know, it has momentum. Whatever's going on in your industry has momentum. You need to see it and respond, like a basketball player driving to the zone or a tennis player hitting a ball coming at them at 160 miles an hour. They did a test with tennis pros where they would put dots on the balls, two dots, three dots, one dot. And then they hit that ball towards these professional tennis players around, you know, between 130 and 160 miles an hour and asked them how many dots. The best players can see the dots at a ball spinning, coming at them at 160 miles an hour because they've mastered being present. And your business situations are coming at you at 1,000 miles an hour, and there are multiple situations occurring all at once. And if you can't be present, if you can't be in the zone, if you can't get your state of mind focused, you're going to miss the ball. Your team's going to miss the ball. Imagine getting your team masters of being in a highly conscious, highly positive, highly focused state of mind versus a team that's pretty much focused on the past, on fighting with each other, on protecting themselves from fearful situations that you may be causing as a leader, that the other teammates are causing. The difference is literally the difference between a sports team in the zone and a sports team that is pissed off. The one in the zone is going to win every time, no matter what. I mean, given their skills are equal. I mean, if Kobe Bryant was in the zone and Kobe Bryant was having a bad day and was worried and stressed and I was in the zone, Kobe Bryant would still win on a one-on-one basketball. Right. Because he has the physical assets that I don't have. But in business, we all have, comparatively speaking, the same assets, the same experience level. And that's true in athletics. Kobe goes up against another really good basketball player. The person in the zone is going to win every time. You know, that's just a fact. And that's what you want to strive for as a leader. Get your team in the zone. Let go of stress. Be focused on what you're doing. Be happy, if you will. Let go of bad moods. And practice. Find your roadmap into your higher state of mind. That's the key. Any questions?
That's beautiful. That's really nice. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
A question did come in before we conclude this segment of the program. How about leaders or individuals that claim to thrive off of stress and that's their motivator, yet they're always running around with their head cut off? Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And they equate that to success.
Yeah, well, most people in our society feel if they're not stressed to do something, they won't do anything. It's totally untrue. Someone who's conscious and present is so curious, they're doing something all the time. It is a false belief. It is totally untrue that stress is a motivator. It's a demotivator. It narrows your consciousness. Over time, it causes you to be susceptible to disease and everything else. So, no, not at all.
Okay. Well, why don't we go to the last slide, and in just a few minutes after we conclude this segment of the program, we're going to turn off the recording and we'll open up the line so you can have an opportunity to talk with Paul. You'll see on your screen an area to register for our upcoming November 19th program. Let me just advance the slide here. The topic is The Workforce of the Future, 10 Things to Consider Today. So sign up today, reserve a space for yourself, and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and a PowerPoint of today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Paul and I want to thank you for your time and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Paul for further discussion on specifics about your industry, your team, to set up a meditation program for your organization or for yourself for just one-to-one time, or to discuss any of the ideas shared today, you'll see Paul's contact information on the screen. I want to thank you again. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have additional topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm back. Sorry.
Okay.
A technical difficulty.
Okay, you're back. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us and have a great day. Paul, hold the line. Everyone hold the line that wants to talk to Paul. Let me just turn off the recording equipment. Just one second.